Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And as we, as we see all of the things happening, like the Adam Schiff censor, as we see, you know, how things are going with the presidential statistics, the polls, you know, the percentages of everything. Folks, you know, if you're really banking on, you know, a primary or a general election making the big difference, especially when it comes to the big players, the only way a big player is really going to make a difference is if they're committed on the Constitution. If they're committed to be your guy, committed to, you know, be, you know, make America great, that's ambiguous. They're not telling you how they're making them. And you know what? Trump didn't make America great. Look at the problems he still had on the wall. Why didn't he demand and hold Congress accountable for stopping that invasion? He didn't need to build a wall. He had the power to remove Congress by using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, by calling them out and saying, look, Article 4 of the Constitution says that we guarantee to repel an invasion, you know, to protect the states and their sovereignty. We have the responsibility in Article 1 to call forth the militia, that Congress has that power. And if you don't do that, if you do not do this, then we will remove you for violating your oath because you don't have a choice. The Constitution demands it. But see, Trump never did that. Now, I believe we may have a president that might actually do that, but I don't know if they actually have that political cojones, I guess, you know, because you really have to stand up and do what may seem maybe unpopular for potentially the majority. And I say the majority of America, because when we look, that may not be the majority of citizens. Folks, we have, I was accounting at the end of Trump's term, around 40 illegal aliens. They say 5 more million illegals, invaders, have made it into this country. Does that mean we're going on 50 million? You can't have, you cannot have that kind of an invasion and not have a housing problem. You cannot have that type of an invasion and not have a labor problem and not have all sorts of other problems. And, you know, there's way too many people, corporations, you know, as a matter of fact, when we look at, because it has come to our attention that as China buys up meat processing plants and other facilities in America, all unconstitutionally, by the way, they have no right to be possessing this property and the states need to take these resources back. But that being set aside, in many of these plants, they're hiring illegals. They're hiring people that will actually get illegals to come do the work because they'll do the work for free. And they know that what they're doing is destroying America because they're not helping you. They're not helping Americans get jobs. And they're basically, all they're doing is they're continuing the welfare state to get Americans to become more complacent and more lazy because the cheese is for free. And I am telling you, China is the most diabolical nation we have ever faced because of what they're doing and how they're doing it. And we're lapping it up like idiots, like imbeciles. I would say dogs, but I mean, dogs are at least smarter. They can sense poison. Anyway, there's a lot to go through. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot to be talking about, you know, especially in the news. And I had to suffer again yesterday listening, as I was driving around doing some errands, listening to conservative news, and it just infuriates me how these people actually talk, you know, because they're talking about the ineffectiveness of the censorship of Adam Schiff. Well, yeah, of course. Censorship is absolutely ineffective. As a matter of fact, censorship is a joke. The fact that they even do it just proves that they're flaunting. They're flaunting the fact that they can ignore the Constitution. Adam Schiff should have been packed up and he should have been removed from the House of Representatives. Even though we have a Republican form of government, when you take that oath and you violate your oath of office while you're under oath and you violate that oath of office, then you have no standing whatsoever to basically even fight for your job. They didn't need to censor him. All they needed was a committee to convict him. Because bottom line, he doesn't require, and as a matter of fact, it should have been the Justice Department that should have actually said, yes, he did violate his oath. That's what it should have been. But Congress can even do that, and a Congress committee can do that. They can say, you have violated your oath of office. Folks, your obligation is to support the Constitution. When you try to tamper with a duly elected president, and you try to do it in ways that is using lies and deceit, you are committing an insurrection against the Constitution. It's not about the president. It is about the Constitution. And so what Adam Schiff and many of these other Democrats, all of these Democrats, are getting away with an insurrection against the Constitution. And none of these radio show hosts that everybody likes to listen to they're not getting it. They don't care. Because if you really solve the problem, if we went down and started removing all of these people for violating their oath of office and actually emptying out the halls of government, well, that would actually solve the problem. You know, we would keep getting rid of people that would get into the position or seat and say, because bottom line, when the next person that heads into that seat, they should at least have the indication, I better at least, you know, support the Constitution. If not, I'm going to be in the same boat as that person that I'm replacing. Now, here's the beautiful thing, and here's the funny thing. Can you think about this? Think about it. In Article 3 of the 14th Amendment, or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, it basically states that the disability of banning this individual that has been removed and then banned by Congress from ever holding any office whatsoever. Now, in states, they basically do it, they ban at the state level. And technically, anybody that leaves that state, you know, that should follow them because it speaks volumes when you have a carpetbagger, you have somebody running from, you know, this banishment of public, you know, public office and public trust. In other words, you can't even have a business. So you can be an employee, but these people, they want the seat of power and they'll try to go to another state. And all you need to do is make sure you follow. If that person pops up on the radar, is running for an office, local commissioner or anything else, all you got to do to undermine their campaign is just let them know, hey, you know, this person was banished over here because they violated their oath of office in accordance with our state constitution, in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And so how do you think that that person would actually be able to win? I mean, if it was a really dark blue, you know, and it's an indictment, folks. It is an indictment when you have bastions of voters, dark blue areas that are willing to actually vote for those who will violate the Constitution, then we have to, I don't want to say we've got to scratch our heads. No, I mean, one can quickly deduce that what needs to be done is these citizens need to be removed from their citizenship, or they need to basically lose their citizenship and right to vote. If you're voting for people that are actually campaigning as if I'm in office, I am going to do these things like Obama. When Obama said, we're going to give you health care, and he's not saying we're going to amend the Constitution, and he goes in and he gives them health care without amending the Constitution, he should be removed. And the people that voted for him should also be affected by not being able to vote. They should lose their citizenship. Maybe not permanently, but it sends the message that you have to take your citizenship very seriously, because you too, every citizen in the United States, is responsible for supporting the Constitution. So when you vote for somebody that actually tells you they're going to violate the Constitution, and this is why we need to make these things issues, and we're talking in a few different races, and just recently we're now talking in Virginia. And we gave these folks a pledge. I kind of went through our old pledge and we cleaned it up to basically state that we're, you know, as a candidate, I pledge to fully support the Constitution and demand all of my servants to support the Constitution. And when you get somebody into the race that says that, then that actually puts the heat on everybody in the race. I want you to understand this. When people actually hear the importance and the power behind Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, that they are willing to step down without a fight if it is proven that they have violated the Constitution, they sign that pledge, then we've got them, folks. And they better start learning about the Constitution and what it means to support it. If you want to start protecting your liberties, this is what you have to do. This is why, you know, when I look at what's going on, we have a very quick way of cleaning up our government. It's called the law of the land. The supreme law of the land dictates that no public servant can be in office. It doesn't necessarily dictate, but I think we need to go there. I think we need to start denying people their right to vote and denying them their citizenship. Now, even though they may be citizens, and when we look at taxes, we may need to actually change, because, you know, I'm not a fan of these people that are living here, living under the umbrella of American blessings, you know, having the roadways and everything else. And we've got a whole bunch of people that are saying, because we're not a citizen, we don't have to pay taxes. You know, I don't like that. And I don't believe that that is actually right. Because if they're not going to pay taxes, but they want to use the roads and they want to use, you know, the benefits that come from our government, then, especially your state governments, then I truly believe that they either get deported, and we can start deporting them along with the invaders. But as I started off, you cannot have 50 million invaders. I mean, what is that? 1/6? If America's population is just over 300 million people, and you have 50 million invaders, folks, that's 1/6 of the nation. You cannot tell me that that does not have evil ramifications. Okay? So there's a lot to cover. And as a matter of fact, I keep on getting the little pokes in the side. Hey, you know, when are you going to dive into? And actually, folks, we did last week. If you didn't hear last week, I actually started talking on this Friday show, the Feedback Friday. We started covering the presidential campaign. Now, not the stuff I'm doing on Mondays. The stuff I'm doing on Mondays is, this is what the president should be leading. This is what the president should be demanding in supporting the law of the land. The president can actually point out that the Dick Act of 1903 and the subsequent militia acts were all violations of the Constitution. That the counties and the states need to apportion per county. And they need to properly apportion the militia appropriately. not as an act of reserve for strategic interest around the world, but as an act of reserve for both enforcing the laws, suppressing insurrections, and repelling invasions, because we're not doing a good job at that. We're not doing a good job at that. I mean, look at San Francisco. Where is San Francisco's militia in holding, or Seattle, or any of these, again, blue bastions? Folks, we have citizens. We have basically areas of blight underway. In other words, they're becoming these nasty puddles of filth, germs, and parasites. And they have they're allowing this to happen, and they have the responsibility of enforcing the laws, because that is the responsibility of a militia. This is why we went through this. And so we actually have to start holding these people accountable. We have to basically put fire to their feet, or feet to the fire, and hold, however you want to say it, and start holding them accountable. Now, so the difficulties in covering the details that I am doing on Mondays regarding a presidential plan to lead the efforts of Republic Review and restoring our constitutional republic to the intricacies of the functions of government, I mean, you really have to put it out there. I mean, as you do something like that, as you say, this is how it's supposed to be. Well, when you say that, you know, then all of a sudden people can come back and go, I don't think you're right. I think you're wrong. So in other words, you really have to have some guts. And the problem with everybody who is running for office, they have no guts. They like to tear down their opponents, but they cannot lead on the substance of what we need. So we're trying. And actually, just so you know, I reached out, and I ask you to reach out to the Larry Elder campaign, because I see him as an outlier. I'm not going to cover him today, but I see him as an outlier in the presidential race. I see him as one that is actually, you know, he's equally ambiguous, but I do see him as a good man. I mean, he's really anti, I'll just say, the wokeism and all of that. I mean, if there's somebody that realizes on the socioeconomic, you know, front in America, the ills that we're suffering from, I think he's definitely somebody that's attuned to that. But if you want to, you can always give them my phone number, my email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and say, hey, get on G.R. Mobley's phone, or do a phone interview, do an interview with G.R. Mobley. Because if we can actually have some interviews with Larry Elder and possibly some of these others, then I truly believe that when we actually get them to start making, you know, acknowledging what is constitutional and so forth, because that all of a sudden becomes the sound bites that will go viral between now and the 2024 election. It's the same thing as trying to get these campaigns that you need to be involved in these county commissioner races, in these state legislative races. And the best way to do that is by using petitions today. So we've been having meetings, and we're heading into July, and we're nowhere close to actually having we actually have functioning in South Dakota. We're close in a couple of other states in getting them to start functioning and actually start petitioning. But what we need to do is we need to actually start building and building and bringing people in. And the way to do this, I cannot emphasize this enough. The way to actually grow your organization is to get out there and start getting people informed and signing these petitions and recruiting them to help you grow the organization. Now, it's only been proven. Georgia's a great example. It's probably doubled up that. So it's growing incredibly fast, and it's only growing by word of mouth. So Georgia could actually be, you know, in hyper growth stage right now, because there's lots of people in Georgia that really want to see a new direction, and they don't realize it's right in front of them. And so when people start seeing the simplicity of creating a comprehensive petition campaign in holding everybody accountable to all the laws of the land under this constitution, then all of a sudden it just makes everything clear that these people do not deserve to be in office, and that we need to get people who are committed to actually supporting the Constitution. This is how we separate the wheat from the chaff. It is that simple. So, last week I made a comment, and so why did I make this comment regarding political sophistry? And this has something to do with the presidential campaign, because we've seen this presidential sophistry, or this political sophistry, in presidential races like Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and others who have actually gotten out there to talk about Eisenhower's military-industrial complex. And you know how I'm telling you that anybody that uses that is using a destructive campaign. Because bottom line, the Constitution demands that we be militarily strong, that we actually have this power, you know, peace through power. and Reagan even proved this. But when we hear people, even Trump started playing this. And as a matter of fact, another reason I don't trust Trump is I don't believe that he's going to do the right thing with our military. I don't think he understands it. I think he looks at it as a business sense, and he's more of a bean counter than a strategic thinker of physical security and world security, the security of our commerce and so forth. Now, the reason I have brought this up, because I've kind of mentioned this and I wanted to make sure I had the name this time, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is being pushed in lots of social media memes and so forth, and he is being dubbed as the second coming of Trump. In other words, they see him as the guy with the wave. And he is the guy that has talked and brought this up regarding the military-industrial complex. And he doesn't understand, you know, really, because he's not putting two and two together regarding standing armies. Basically, every enforcement agency that the federal government has created is a standing army. And he's not the guy that is even acknowledging the sleight of hand of Eisenhower warning us about the one constitutional thing. We need to have a military, external military, to protect us. It is more than evident today that there are plenty of players in the world that are out to get us. And we need to maintain that strength. But the sleight of hand was the fact that Eisenhower created the medical industrial complex, the educational industrial complex, and the welfare industrial complex. And those three industrial complexes have more to do with what's destroying America today than the military industrial complex. I'm telling you, nobody can argue otherwise. What Eisenhower did was far more insidious, especially because he knew what he did, and he got everybody to focus on the grapefruit in somebody else's hands. Oh, interesting. That is the classic case of a sleight of hand. And so one of the things that we really, 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 really need to get you to help you understand is anybody that uses this military-industrial complex, you know, that we shouldn't have these protections, we shouldn't be protecting our commerce, we shouldn't have this military strength around the world in protecting our commerce and protecting our interests. They are wrong. They're absolutely wrong, because that was the design of the Constitution, was to have a U.S. Navy, not a U.S. Army. The Army's not to be playing outside the United States. The Army was never designed, and this country was never designed to really fight a large war on a warfare scale regarding going into a foreign land and taking our militias into that foreign land. The design was to protect America and make America impenetrable. and to use the Navy and the Marine Corps to assist in foreign hostilities and to protect American interests. Period. That's about it. And we'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Well, as I was trying to say, and actually, let me just cut to the chase, because I think this is the best way to say this. And as a matter of fact, a friend of mine from California, and I have a lot of friends down there because I spent a lot of time down there, but this friend I actually met who was a neighbor of mine after I had, you know, moved up here and gotten on the radio. So anyway, this neighbor of mine actually posted a meme that has been, or shared a meme. I don't know. I know that they didn't do it, but it's a meme that basically says this, you know, what can I do? I'm only one person, said 7 billion people. Think about that. You're not alone. There's lots of people out there that are absolutely fuming. Everybody sees these memes that are actually stating the obvious. I mean, there's another meme that's very similar to this. You know, that you can't look at everything that's going on. And even though, you know, you can't see, you don't really, you know, put your finger on the real problem, the crux of the problem, you have this overwhelming sense that something is very, very wrong. You cannot not be aware of the fact that we are living in the darkest, most evil time that has ever transpired in the annals of the history of mankind. And I can't emphasize enough that when really there's so many people that see this and they go, well, what can we do? Well, I'm telling you what we are to do, what we've been given the course. It's not about going out and protesting. It is about petitioning, articulating a very well and clarified legal argument that what they are doing is illegal. And that what we demand is that they comply to the law, stop doing these things, and do the very specific things that they're supposed to be doing. Instead of getting out and protesting, we're going to communicate. And by communicating, we're going to clearly articulate the problem, what they're doing, how is it wrong, and what they have to do to fix it. And in so doing, we're teaching these people that don't know, that don't understand, wow, that's what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, they're not even supposed to be doing this? Wow, it didn't seem like, it didn't seem right that they were doing it. Folks, you can state the obvious, just like the rest of these memes, but you can actually hit the nail on the head by using First Amendment petitions in creating an overwhelming argument. So, I actually, surprise, surprise, I actually came close and I've created the Department of Transportation petition, and I'm going to be sending that back to Woody in Virginia and let him take a look at it. And then I'm going to be touching up the medical freedom petition. So it's going to start off with, you know, we've already made the case in this petition that the Department of Transportation is an outright violation and a usurpation of state's powers, a violation of the Constitution, a usurpation of state powers. You know, whereas, you know, and going down into the medical, if they can't even assume the powers of this, then they definitely can't assume the powers of this. And, you know, and then lay out how they did it and how it's all been done unconstitutionally because it was not an amendment to the Constitution. And so by doing it this way, then we can make the next one. You can make the next one. You can actually help us by writing one on education or one on labor. You know, you really got a craw, you know, it, you know, you get something, you know, just under your skin, just bothering you, just, ugh. On labor, maybe it's the unions and so forth. Whatever it is, I mean, look at the executive powers, right? Welfare. If that is your key issue, then help us write the petition for welfare. Help us write these petitions. There's hundreds of them, hundreds. And you can actually help. You can actually do something. I hope you understand that we're all busy. But if you started taking the time and it took you about a month to write the one petition, what do you think it's going to take? I mean, for one person to sit down and just write all of these petitions and do all the research involved and everything else, it would take him a lifetime just to be able to do all of the due diligence that we really need, because when you read these petitions, we try to do the due diligence. So anyway, this is something you can do, right? So one of the things we've also told you, and we've been warning you, and we want to get back to this regarding Monex and everything else, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. But last week, you know, it was, I think, 1960-something. Gold was going down. It's in the green. It's going down. And it's now 1925. Right now, today, it's 1925 as I look at the charts. 1924. Just went down another dollar. Silver is down because it was... if I remember correctly, it was almost $24. It's now $22.46. In 1 week, it's gone down a dollar and a half. And so right now, yeah, it's still $22.46. So at this point in time, I think either the people that were going to get their silver and get their gold, because they perceived Fed now being being a threat, for whatever reason, there's been a replenishing, or the supply, the demand has gone down, whatever. Folks, Fed now kicks in next month. And so I believe that eventually what the government will do is what they've done before. They will make the U.S. dollar illegal. They will make the silver and gold coins and currencies illegal. And so... What we have, and the only thing we're going to be able to do, because you're not going to be able to get much for U.S. dollar, but you're going to be able to get a lot more with your silver and gold. Now, to be honest, for survival rate, gold is not a reasonable currency. It's not a reasonable commodity to trade because it's just worth too much. But I'm here to tell you, silver and silver, what they call silver rounds and silver Liberty dollars are going to be probably your real savior if you need to make a change or exchange with somebody to get something because you really need it. And they've got what you need, but they don't have the silver, or they're willing to trade, then that is a great bartering medium. Okay, so you may not have everything. So you may want to have something in hand so that you can actually barter for some gas, barter for some food, barter for some transportation, whatever. Because who knows how long we're going to be stuck in this. You know, I know he will be coming soon, but... we will have some suffering to do. At least that's what he says. He says, even for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, which means he didn't say that we wouldn't have to suffer those days. It's just that those days would be shortened. So it is better to have and not need than to need and not have, right? Now, last week, when we were talking about the presidential candidates, we brought up Vivek Ramaswamy, and I think that's how you say it, Ramaswamy, and he's a biopharmaceutical tycoon. I think I gave you this message. Here's a guy that has real, he's a very smart guy. He's got a lot of academia, and I'm telling you, he is, based on all of his knowledge, he's qualified to do what he's doing. He is definitely qualified to be a biopharmaceutical tycoon. Absolutely. But he is not qualified to be the president of the United States, because I can guarantee you the one thing he hasn't learned is the Constitution. I defy him to come on my radio show so that he can talk and explain to me the standing army. He can explain to me what the Electoral College. He can explain to me, you know, these things, these very important things that we need to understand. As a president of the United States, if you do not understand it, then you why are these people throwing their hats in the rings? Trump didn't understand the Constitution. I told you that. It was the first time we had a constitutionally illiterate president. Now, Biden, being a person that had served and served and served, he should have been exposed to what was constitutional, what wasn't, even though he may not have been educated. He should have been. And there's no doubt in my mind he has been. There's no doubt in my mind he is very aware of the fact that how he is violating the Constitution. He's gotten so good at it. He has gotten so good at it, he can obviate, he can obstruct, and he can basically get you to believe a false narrative, or maybe get some people to believe a false narrative, because I know that my audience is not believing anything that Biden says. You know how you can tell if Biden's lying? When he's talking, when he's writing something down, everything he says and does is a lie. But this Vivek Ramaswamy, I've already brought up question regarding his parents. His parents came from India. I don't know if they naturalized here or not. I don't know if he was born here or not. You know, getting that kind of information, really got to dive down and dig. There's no doubt in my mind that it'll come up quickly if somebody does the due diligence. Because here's the thing, folks. If he was born here while his parents were still non-U.S. citizens, then he is not a naturalized citizen. He's not a natural-born citizen, I mean. He has been adopted unconstitutionally under this anchor baby concept that there's no constitutional standing for. So in other words, he's not truly a U.S. citizen at all. You know, they may have claimed, but that is not constitutional, and that is problematic. And more importantly, when we really look at what the heck, you know, he says and what he's doing, he is a reactor. And what you are looking for, and what way too many people are, you know, searching for, is who's going to react the way we want them to react. We've got to start leading, folks. We don't have time to react to the globalists anymore. We have to actually mount our offense, and our best defense is a good offense. We have to go on the attack. We need a president that will go on the attack. Yeah, that means that the president is going to be, susceptible to an assassination. I'm going to tell you, the globalists are not going to sit idly by while they see all of their hard work and the controls that they, these fake controls that they've got everybody to believe, like our debt and all of this other crap. You know, the guy that actually starts saying that debt is unconstitutional is put practically a death warrant out for him. Because he's actually telling you the truth that we are not liable for that debt. Do you think these globalists want people to know the truth. And when people actually see the ratification debates and how they clearly laid out that we can, that our government can only legitimately do those things enumerated in the Constitution, that if all the states have to do is say, hey, you've been frauding us. You've been defrauding the American people. And we do not accept this debt that you've created. And remove all of these people. And then when the world comes and says, well, we want our pound of flesh, all the people we removed, we send them abroad and go, here you go. Here's your pound of flesh. You got these people to do your bidding for you. And they did it illegally. It was fraudulent. What they did was fraudulent, period. And you owe us money. Because all of the money we've been paying out on the debt, the world actually owes America. That's right, folks. It's that simple. And so the person who runs, you remember, it wasn't the idiot Santorum. Santorum, I don't think ever did anything that I ever thought was, a true leader. Perry, it was Perry. So do you remember when Perry, and I think it was the 2012 election, when they were trying to get Perry to bolster him up above Romney, like Caesar. Anyway, when they were trying to bolster him up, he made a comment regarding the Social Security, that it was fraudulent, it was illegitimate. And they had him in a news interview and they pinned him to the wall and said, are you really going to tell us that it's fraudulent? When he should have said, absolutely. Why would anything change from then to now? Nothing's changed. It's fraudulent. We can fix this. We can fix it without hurting anybody. But see, he didn't know that. And that's why he realized, because he was told, you're alienating a lot of people on Social Security, people that are going to be obtaining Social Security. And had he actually said, yes, it is fraudulent. However, we can fix this without hurting anybody. Because Milton Friedman basically said, one thing government can do is it can actualize this and say, okay, everybody's paid into it. You stop now and everybody will get, at a certain point, going back, if you're 35 years old right now, or you're 40 years old right now, all of the money that you put in, you will get back. And nobody else pays anymore. And we're going to use a different, tax revenue or another mechanism of taxation to bring the money in, such as imposts, what have you. But bottom line, we owe it to the American people because they've been defrauded once again by their government. Now, all we have to do to really reduce the liability of Social Security and this Medicare, whatever, is actually get that stuff out of there. There is no entitlement. Now, Medicare, Medicaid, all of that, that's not a part of Social Security. But they made it a part of it. They made it a part of it to actually make you more and more, we need the big teat of government. Folks, we would be far better off if we got the government completely out. When you actually have this big payer coming in with these big, deep pockets, being able to pursue and direct our health insurance and our health coverage down very dark paths, then that's a bad thing. Get government out and all of a sudden the market will actually correct itself, because they're going to actually start focusing on getting you to stay alive instead of allowing big pharma to dictate. We've got to get a free system, because right now the government and the allegiance between government and big pharma corporations is driving us down the wrong path. But bottom line, that was an epiphany that every conservative that was alive watching those debates and paying attention could actually go back and see that epiphany where all of a sudden, Governor Perry, Rick Perry, I believe that's his name, was put to the thumbscrews were put to him, and he caved, because he was told that that's what he needed to do. In other words, his handlers weren't very good people. They were, let's just say, nefarious people, pernicious people. You know, the double P, pernicious people. Yeah, I like that. There we go. Now, the next person we're going to cover, we're going to go back to Trump. And I just want to look at, because everybody that has been watching what's going on, you know, Trump is just enjoying this beautiful lead. I am going to tell you that Trump's days are done. And why is that? Because if you really look at what's going to happen, he's going to get convicted. And if he gets convicted, then everything is for naught, because those, this gives the states the ability to say, you can't be a public servant. You've been convicted of this. And so basically what we're seeing is, you know, as the Biden administration actually has, you know, what we call a FIRIC, P-Y-R-R-H-I-C, FIRIC victory. This is a victory where you surmount so many casualties, so much damage, that even though you won the battle, you've lost the war as well. And so nobody really becomes the winner when you do this. And so as we see Trump actually being bolstered up by these numbers, it's pretty much done. And regardless of his innocence and regardless of the paradigm, they're going to get convictions. I just don't see any other way. I think that they have it in. And the only way Trump is actually going to be able to clean all of this stuff up is possibly either with a pardon or possibly with an appeal in, you know, in a good, favorable court. But these courts and these counties where these are operating, these are operators for the dark side. So as people look and they see Trump and how Trump is just, you know, in this position, well, I don't think that it's going to bode well. Even though his numbers may look good, reality will sink in. I think by 2024, there will be convictions coming. And when that happens, I believe that the blue states will actually remove him from the ballot. They will not allow him to be on the ballot. They will. This is political sophistry. And you can't trust anybody. You can't trust anyone doing these things and using political gain to go down this path. I mean, this is the works of Obama, the globalists. I mean, all of the evil thinkers have been thinking about what to do and how to do this, which is why, you know, we really have to, because if they have this plan, then they have an alternate plan. They have an alternate guy that is going to be their champion, that is going to take America down a slightly different path towards globalism. It won't be Biden. It won't be Trump. And so this is why, going back to why I made a big deal about the military-industrial complex. Now, Mike Pence right now is the guy. And if anybody has any recollection of what we said on January 6th, going into January 6th and after January 6th, 2021, Mike Pence committed treason. Mike Pence is still out there saying we did everything we can in following the Constitution, and he is lying. He committed treason. He should have rejected this unconstitutionally formed Electoral College. The lawsuit is clear. He was sued. And he should have been sued as a former person that actually violated the law. So bottom line, there's no doubt in my mind, he understands what he should have done. He was petitioned, and we gave him everything that he needed to know to do what he should have done, and he chose not to do it. So he committed treason and has yet to face these charges since he has been protected by the deep state establishment. January 6th and the First Amendment petition proven that he does not support the Constitution and is incapable of fulfilling his oath, therefore he will not demand any real compliance to the Constitution. And a real and present threat and danger to our liberties is in his hands. In other words, he is the man that will ensure the globalist agenda. He has bowed down to the globalists, and he's willing to carry the mantle if he gets elected. And only those speaking the truth can actually, you know, shine the light of truth on him, what he did, and how evil this man is. We actually went through, this nation suffers and is still suffering from what this man did, allowing Biden to be seated and violating the Constitution. I cannot emphasize this enough. Mike Pence should be, you know, he should be the first to actually bail out. The truth really needs to be unleashed. And what my problem, the real problem I have here, folks, is the fact that, you know, Sean Hannity and other people have been in interviewing him, inviting them on his shows or their shows, and they're letting him soft pedal. And he's just skating along on the thin ice. Like he's an Olympian figurine skater or what have you, just performing feats in front of everybody going, yeah, are you buying it? And not one of these people is actually holding him accountable to treason. He committed treason. Now, Ronald Dion DeSantis, and I think I might have mentioned this before, he is a Yale Skull and Bones player. He's a part of the Skull and Bones. He went to Yale. He also went to and in the military indoctrination system. In other words, he has come from a governing body of communism. And as you look, you can see as the state executive how he has used supposedly conservative, but he has used conservative authority to do some things where I'm not sure that the governor has the ability to legislate by, you know, doing some of the things. He should have probably, I believe some of the stuff that he should have done should have come from the state legislators. One of the things we've learned this week is that the legislators really do possess the power. It takes your state legislature to choose to move away from common law. The governor can't do that. And he's being viewed as a strong executive because he's willing to violate the executive office by creating and enforcing the laws instead of actually enforcing the laws the way they're supposed to be enforced. And so for them to actually change whether he could take Disney's tax advantage away or not probably would have required the state legislature to be involved in that. And I look at him as an autocrat. I look at him as an authoritarian, a despot. America doesn't need a despot. America does not need vengeance. What America needs is a leader on the Constitution. And if you want to understand leaders on the Constitution, you need to tune in to my Monday special editions where we're diving into what a constitutional president could do with America today in enforcing the laws of the land. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.